Guys, today, it's a bit of a different map. Your notes will get you so far in life, but really you have to become the thing that you preach about. There's no point in me telling you to follow him if I'm not following him myself. You know what I'm saying? Your life has to be your sermon. The way you live has to demonstrate that you know him. A couple of weeks ago, I actually thought I'd lost my job because my wife stood in my place. So I sent a message to the team. I have still got a job, haven't I? They're like, yeah, well, there you go, you know. But, you know, I think, thanks, Jeremy, ever the encourager. I think what God wanted to show us through that day and through what was preached, he wants to bring us back to something, back to the foundation. It's something we've heard a long time ago. And it's something that God wants to do new in us as well. So, if you remember the message was on about unity, right? And the miracle of unity. It's great for healing. It's great for eyes being open, ears being open, the lame walking and all those things. But you can receive all those things and still be lame and blind and deaf and not speaking right. And so the purpose of the message was to bring us to the truth that Jesus came to bring us back to the Father, to unite himself with us. And when we unite with Jesus, we unite with one another as well. And as you know, Haley coming in to preach that was based on something that happened to me just recently. So today I really just want to pour out my heart. Is that okay with you guys? So this is why it's a bit different setup, because we're going to worship later and we're going to have some prayer as well. But worship is a response to revelation. And Pastor Chris always says this, the revelation leads us into worship. And during my time in hospital, God's been doing some real work in me, you know. And, you know, before going in, and I'm just going to be, honest and open, so you can hear my heart. I felt really distant from God. It's funny because you're in the midst of church and in the midst of activity and doing things for God, but yet you can feel so alone. And I was caught up in just doing ministry. Caught up in just from the next thing to the next thing. And part of that message was, in doing all that, is that we do church instead of be church. And I felt sort of trapped in a way. And my identity and my how well I'm doing and how well I'm seeing myself depended on how well I was doing ministry-wise. If I was preaching right, if I had good sermons, if I could pray right, if I prayed for people and they got healed and all this kind of stuff, I was judging how my relationship with God was based on how I performed. And to tell you the truth, before going into hospital, I wasn't sure whether I could carry on doing this. I really was beginning to struggle. Can anyone identify with, yeah, come on. Because you're a church that serves. You're a church that actually gets your hands dirty and gets in and helps out. And it's not because you want something to prove. It's because you love the Lord. But how many of you know that you can get caught up in the doing, feel distant, feel like that's what makes you a Christian, and yet at the same time begin to resent the very thing that started off as a heart condition in the first place. And people start to become annoying to you and, you know, and try you and, oh, if only they were treating me better, then I would be okay. And during, you know, I was coming into having the tonsils and then a week later I suffered operation bleed. And what actually happened was in my throat here, one of the arteries burst and blood just started to, you know, if you difference between a vein and an artery, veins just bleed, but arteries pump. So my throat was pumping with blood, basically, and begin to vomit up blood. I'm on a hospital bed, my wife's there, and just looking at the faces of the doctors and nurses, you know, they're looking worried. Because people die from this stuff. And then Affy told us, was it a few days after all this had happened, that one of the work guys died, didn't they, from a bleed, from coughing and died. So blood's pumping out and vomiting blood. They're trying to spray this temgesic acid or whatever it is, those of you familiar with medical stuff. What that does, it's a clotting agent. But because there was so much blood coming out, that blood was just clotting, filling up, and the clots were just filling up. So I was choking on the clots as well. So it was really quite a scary time. But you know what? Jesus Christ gives us peace that passes all understanding. In the midst of whatever you're going through, who knows, the best response is to turn to Him. But this turning was, there was a sorrow that was coming over me. And it wasn't a sorrow because here I am dying. It was a sorrow that the mindset that I was in currently, that I would possibly go out like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could possibly die not, my heart not being right in what I was doing for the Lord and why I am a Christian for. My heart basically became sorrowful and I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry that I made this all about me. Lord, I don't want to go like this, Lord. I don't want to miss out on what your word says and what I know to be true. Lord, forgive me. And so I asked the Lord for mercy because I didn't want to finish like this. And not only that, because I know that I'd grieved His heart. And it's not that I'd upset Him, that He was grieving for me, that I'd fallen into this place. And obviously then I went under for surgery and I came back. And I remember waking up and it was like early morning and you know that kind of dusky, dawnish kind of light, you know. And I just woke up just being so thankful. And I had my phone, I asked the nurse for my phone and I just put on worship. And just listening to the worship. And I felt that something had lifted. Something had shifted. I'd died. But I've been raised to life again. I've been resurrected. And it was such a surreal feeling. And during the recovery, you know, I've just had the opportunity to just spend time with Jesus. And look, I know I couldn't have done any of this without your support and your help and being here for our family and everything like that. But God had been really working some things in my heart during this recovery and shown me what's really important. Sometimes we miss the important things because we're caught up so much with the things that don't really matter. And He's shown me who I am and how He wants me to be before Him. And I truly believe, church, that He's showing us who He wants us to be and how we are to be before Him. you know, I really feel there's a bit of a kind of crisis in the Western church at the moment. And can I just be real with this, right? Let's just look at ministry a sec in the church, you know, service in the church. I just see that there's a lot of us seeking affirmation. We're seeking affirmation so that we can feel good with what we profess. People look to ministry. What's my ministry? What's, you know, my role and what am I doing, you know? And we kind of identify with what we do. And I've even seen it with pastors as well, that pastors actually get put in this position where they feel like they have to be in competition. We have to be in competition with the church down the road or even with one another. And like, I'm just talking from my heart, okay? I felt some ugly things when there was three of us as pastors, right? Because it felt like, I know it shouldn't. Don't get me wrong. And I know that you guys wouldn't put that upon me. But this is just where my heart was. It just felt like competition. You know, you just feel this. You know what I'm talking about? The subtle things of where you just feel like, oh, they did really well or they got a better response. You know what I mean? And it starts to work in your heart. And that's not my heart. I don't want that. But it was starting to, and I know other pastors feel these things. I know that they judge themselves by how many bums are on seats. The effectiveness of our ministry by how many people are following them. But we're called to follow Jesus and Him alone. And not only that, but even as in the church, we've adopted this consumer mindset that basically that ministry is here to meet a need. That if the ministry is not there to meet a need, then the church or the organization that you're a part of is somehow lacking. And that's not right. And I see churches run like businesses and franchises. And we're called to be a body. And if you make a business out of a body, it becomes a prostitute. And we're not a prostitute church. We're a body. We're a family. We link arms with one another. We lay down our lives for one another. So in those areas of ministry, I've seen those things. And I've seen it in prosperity as well. The prosperity teaching that has crept through the church. Now, I'm not against God prospering you. It's biblical. But when we just use kingdom principles for our best life now, we've missed it. We've totally missed the mark. When our faith is just built on whether we're praying for a new job, a new car, a better house, a wife, you know, financial blessings. I'm not against those things. But if that's what we're seeking the kingdom for, we've missed it. See, we've bought this lie from the world that we have to feel good and look good all the time. That we need our best life now. And who knows, this is not our best life now. It can be with the revelation of Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart. It can be. But it's not tied up in prosperity, possessions, and seeking all those things. It's not tied up in ministry. And the third area the Lord showed me is in sensuality. That the church in the West is becoming entrenched in sensuality. We're seeking freedom. You know, we're seeking freedom from our feelings. And we're not called to live by our feelings, but by faith. You see, if you don't walk by faith and how you feel, you will always be a prisoner to your feelings. Because you will only be as good as how well you're doing. You'll only be as good as how you're feeling. And we're called to die to that stuff. you know, we inherited a set of feelings from the fall of mankind that we've been so used to running with when God calls us to renew our mind. And I want to say something strong that I said in prayer this morning. If you cannot be alone with God, alone with just this, read it, receive it, believe it, thank God for it, and worship, and I guarantee you, all this, nice music, dim lights, great atmosphere and ambience, great coffee, all that thing, none of that will work. If you cannot get alone with Him and worship Him, because He's looking for worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's seeking people who will be alone with Him when no one is watching. When there's no real... Oh, we got a great worship team. I love them. And that is an absolute blessing. But if you cannot be alone with Him and worship Him and sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs alone, the Apostle John was sentenced to the island of Patmos. He had no worship team. He had no church. But man, did he receive revelation. Why? Because he referred himself as the beloved of Jesus. He was abiding in the love of Christ. See, if we're seeking freedom as well, to be free from our feelings, we're going to rely on ministry to do that. We're going to rely on our feelings to be okay, to feel free. But who knows? It's not ministry that sets you free. It's truth that sets you free. It's the truth that will set you free. See, we've all... Some of you may be new to church and new to this, and, you know, forgive me, you have to catch up. But who knows? We can have lots of prayer and manifestations. People can fall down. People can cry. People can be touched. But if those manifestations do not bring transformation, what's the point? How can we experience these things, the love and the touch of God, and yet still walk away bound in unforgiveness, still walk away hating our boss, hating our job, still focus on me, 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 I? It hasn't brought transformation, and the truth needs to set us free. Our feelings won't set us free, church. See, we're not saved just so we can be blessed. So we can have, you know, glassy seas and clear skies. We're saved for transformation. We're saved because God in the beginning took dirt, formed it, and filled it with His Spirit. Filled it with who He is. And we were called to reflect the image and likeness of God on this earth, so the whole earth would be filled with His glory. So that image would be multiplied. And Jesus Christ didn't come just so we can get out of the queue going to hell into the escalator going to heaven. He came to put heaven back inside of us. Because God is the one that heaven is all about. Heaven is not about all our needs being met and we feeling goosebumps. Heaven is the very presence of the living God, tabernacling, if that's a word, dwelling in us. Heaven coming inside of us. Heaven is heaven because God is there. That's the only reason. And so God purposed through Christ before the foundation of the world, before you and I were even born, yet while we were still sinners, lost in outer darkness, he came to redeem us through his Son. You guys okay? Man, this is like burning in me. Because I want to tell you, I'm not here to like just say we're doing everything wrong. Today, God sent me to call this out of us. He wants to call this out of us, church. And what does he want to call out of us? The only way we can be restored to the Father, the only way that we can even allow the kingdom of heaven to actually be within us, to actually walk in the kingdom of heaven, is through knowing Jesus. Through knowing Jesus. Now, some of us might go, well, yeah, mate, I know Jesus. Jesus says, many have come to me in the last day and say, Lord, Lord, was I not a pastor? Was I not teach your word? Did I not lay hands on people? Did not the sick get healed and the demons cast out? And he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. You see, me and Haley, let's talk about known at the moment, right? Me and Haley know each other, right? You guys know Haley. But I know Haley. You see what I'm saying? It's a play on words here. See, I know her in a way that is intimate that you guys won't know her. You know of her and sort of see her and everything like that. And this is a bit like the children of Israel. They saw God come down on the mountain. They were like, oh, Moses, you go. We know that you don't mess around with him. So they didn't know him. And it says God knew Moses as a friend. He was a friend of God. And the fact is that we were always created to know God. Just the same as Adam and Eve. It said Adam knew his wife Eve. Now, we often talk about it in a sexual connotation that, you know, to produce offspring, right? About knowing one another. That's the context in that kind of thing there. But if we look in the New Testament, when Paul is speaking about marriage, and he says that the two become one flesh, but I speak of a greater mystery of Christ and his church. That God, just the same as in marriage, wants us to become one flesh. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So, if you open up your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14, and I'm just going to go through a few scriptures so we just really get this. Turn to the person next to you and say, I want to know Jesus. And turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus wants to know you. Okay, you there? John chapter 14, verse 6. I'm sorry there's no slides because I'm just sharing from my heart today. So where this goes, who knows? Don't get scared. There's a clock there. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, so who says to the disciples, all right, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, doesn't say no one comes to heaven. It says no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. Why? Well, he tells us a bit later on down the passage here. Jesus says in verse 7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." So he's saying, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you'll know the Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And I love Philip. Philip's awesome. Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Only by knowing Jesus Christ can we know the Father, that we can see the Father. Only by receiving Jesus Christ can we actually become the love of God. How so? How do we get to know Jesus more? It says in 1 John, I think it's 4 or 3, it says, "He who says, 'I know him,' yet hates his brother, is a liar, and the truth is not within him." He who says he knows him, yet walks in darkness, is a liar, and the truth is not with him as well. It says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." You see, how can we say that we know Jesus and yet have unforgiveness, bitterness, envy, jealousy, self-seeking, murderous thoughts, anger, rage, malice in our hearts? How can we say that we know him if we have those things? You see, we want God to love us and accept his love and be forgiven of everything we've ever done. And then we turn around and not want to extend that to others. This is what we've inherited through the fall. This is the fallen mindset that is at enmity with God. It says the carnal mind cannot accept the things of God. It's at enmity with God. That's why we need to be filled with his word. We need our minds renewed and our hearts transformed. Now, I haven't come here to bash you and condemn you or anything like that. I'm sharing of my heart. This stuff that I'm talking about now, this is what came to me. "Matt, how can you say you love me when you haven't forgiven so-and-so about what they've done? How can you say you love me when you're angry at the very people that I love and came to save?" And it broke me because I was like, "Jesus, I don't want that. I want you." And I know in everyone's heart here, that is true. That's the purity of your heart before God. It's just our brains are a bit messed up. You know? Jesus said, "If your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light which you say is darkness within you, then how great is that darkness? Guys, it's time to get our eyes right. I believe that God wants to take us into a revelation of His love. I believe God wants to release His love through our hearts in the greatest way ever. I believe that's available today. I believe today is a day of salvation. I believe that we don't look at the things that are behind us now, but if our hearts are geared before Him and say, yes, Lord, I want that. I don't want those things. Guilt, condemnation, and shame has no power over you anymore. If you turn your heart to Him and say, Lord, I want you. I don't want this mindset. I don't want this fallen way of thinking. I want to be transformed by the renewing of the Word and your Word in my heart, Lord, and I want your Spirit to fill me to overflow. You're releasing faith, and grace will work through faith. And then you're not biting your lip, just trying to be more loving. Who knows, that is just a waste of time. We're like, oh, I love you, brother. Oh, my goodness. Oh, can't believe. Look, who do they think they are? You know, they don't realize what they did 3 years ago. You know? I'm being honest. I'm being real about this stuff. This is the stuff that's stumbling us, and God wants to remove it. He says in Ezekiel, I'll take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my Spirit within you. Who wants that? We all want that, don't we? We all want that. You know what it's going to cost you? Your life. It's going to cost you to lay down your life, your fallen way of thinking that you inherited from Adam. The fallen way. Love takes no account that it suffered wrong, right? Love takes no account that it suffered wrong. So when we have accounts with each other, well, they did this and they did that, then we have a problem. We keep an account of what people have done to us. When Jesus wiped all that out, amen? Do you know what? There's three major problems that stop us walking in this. But it can be summed up in one. You. I don't mean just you. I mean the letter U. Three things. Unbelief. What do I mean by that? It means that you come to the Word of God, and where it says, I am a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Thank you, Father, that you have changed and transformed my life and that you're pouring your Spirit in me, and I'm not hurt and broken and frustrated any longer, Lord, but you have renewed my mind with your Word, Lord, and I'm following you, Jesus, and I put off the old and I put on the new and created in the image and likeness of you, and I thank you, Lord. If you do not get alone and believe that, that's the you of unbelief. Unbelief will always hinder you from walking in what He has accomplished. This is available for everyone. No one's ruled out. His blood is on the mercy seat for all of mankind. And church, He wants us so much to let go of unbelief. He wants us to stop judging by appearances. He wants us to stop regarding each other according to the flesh. As it says, the Apostle Paul says, he says, no longer judge anyone according to the flesh. Because if one died, if Christ died, then all died. We are to see each other not according to the flesh, but for what God has paid for. And refuse to entertain a carnal mindset that would say, oh, they've got a long way to go. Oh, my goodness. Call him a preacher. And look, he's telling me, but look at his life and rah, rah, rah. All this little natter, 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 natter. All this fallen way of thinking. The second you is unloving attitudes. That'll hinder you every time. Because God is love, amen? And His love wants to flow in us and through us. But if we have unloving attitudes towards people, how on earth can God's love flow through us? See, an attitude is a mindset. And mindsets are thoughts that have gathered momentum and solidified. And they become strongholds. And every thought that we have, regardless, has to be taken captive to the obedience of Christ. If it doesn't line up with Jesus, if it wouldn't come out of Jesus, it shouldn't come out of you. And that doesn't mean that you have to allow that to condemn you and beat you up. When it comes to mind, you just have to raise your hands and worship and say, thank you, Holy Spirit, you showed me that. And that's not me. You've created me to love this person. You've created me to see this person the way you see them. And you let go of these carnal mindsets and this twisted and fallen way of thinking and step into the revelation of His love. And it has to be done through faith. And the last U is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will stop it right in the tracks. Please, church, we have to drop these things. Well, I can't because they. That's wrong. You're listening to deception and a lie. Yeah, but if they just, sorry, not in the mouth of Jesus. But you don't know what. Come on, church. Jesus say those things on the cross? Jesus with His back ripped open, flesh open, blood pouring out, carrying a wooden cross, the King of heaven, the fullness of grace and truth, the most perfect human being that ever lived, the very image of God, the very image of who we were created to be, He turned around and say, I'm not loving these guys. Look what they've done. Judas, give me a kiss. What's wrong with you? I'm not dying for them. They can sort themselves out. No, He didn't, because He's love. Because He was filled with the Spirit of God. And He walked in the anointing and the power of love. Love covers a multitude of sins. His blood covered every single sin that I, you, and the whole of mankind. There is so much power in that blood that you have to begin to see people through the blood. You have to begin to see and call out of them what God created them for, because who knows that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It says the law was the ministry of condemnation. Man, I could point out a dozen faults and we could all stand here condemned. And there's glory in that, it says, because it says that the commandments are good. They show us, they reveal stuff. But who knows, it's the goodness of God demonstrated through Jesus Christ that leads us to repentance. And the more we know Jesus, the more we come to Him, the more we get filled with the love of God, the closer we become one with Him. That is our goal. That is our purpose. We can be an apostolic and prophetic center to the nations built on a foundation of prayer, but without love, means nothing. Paul says, I could know all mysteries, have all wisdom. I can give all my money to the poor. You know, I could have faith to move mountains. And We'll see that in church and we're just like, whoa, you know? But he says, without love, it's nothing. Pursue love above all things. It's time to let stuff go, church. Jesus said to us in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Then he later goes on in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's the commandments? Love one another as I have loved you. And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. He says later on, verse 23 or 21, he who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The more we love one another, the more we know him, the more he'll manifest himself within our lives, the more we become transformed into his image. Later on, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. You are the only thing that God used with his hands to form out of creation. Everything else he spoke. He got his hands dirty with you. And he formed you as a container, as a vessel, and he breathed inside of you and filled you with his spirit. The day of Pentecost, the same thing. They've been cleaned out. They've been made vessels for righteousness, and God filled them with his spirit. And then it says later on in chapter 17, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then his prayer for all believers, which was shared a couple of weeks ago, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. And at the very end, he says, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Church, it's time to lay off the old and step into the new. We had, at the beginning of this year, wasn't it, a heart for the lost and a heart for youth. We want God's heart, amen? It's time to lay down every single weight and hindrance and to run this race with a new mind, with a clear eye, and a better look of each other. Guys, I love you so much. I can honestly say that. I love you so much. And I believe that God wants to, in this church, as I've said before, pour out his love in each and every one of us. I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out the emblems for communion, please. Are you okay with what I've shared today, guys? I know it's gone a bit quiet and there's no clever points. You know, we need power to know Jesus, right? We need God's power. For any of you guys who love acronyms and writing stuff down, write down the word power. P, prayer. First point, these are in no particular order. Prayer. We need prayer to come into union with God. Not a list of demands or a list of needs that we have. No, I'm talking about genuine, intimate prayer, where we just come before God and say, God, I don't know you how this book says I should know you, and I can't do it in my own strength. So, Father, please, father me. Lead me into all truth. I surrender my rights, my everything that the fall has put on me and my way of thinking. I surrender it to you, and I ask that your love would fill me, that I could become your love to others. Intimacy in prayer, spending time with him. The O of power, obedience. Obedience. Those who say they love me will keep my commandments. It's not what we profess, it's how we live it out. Our lives are our confession. W, worship. In response to his love and revelation, worship is key. Worship leads us into his heart, into his presence. The E, and it's an old word that's not used much really in our circles, but in the kind of other denominations, Eucharist. It's a sacrament, communion, co-union. Communion with him. It's a sacrament, a sacred mystery that brings us not only in unity with him, but with one another as we all share and remember what he done. His body broken for us, his blood poured out for the remission of our sins. And read the word. Read your Bible. Read Jesus' words. Just start from there. Read. Fill yourself with his word. Don't fill yourself with the things of this world. Because he even says in his word, if you love the world and the things of it, the love of the Father isn't even in you. Do you know what? What's been so healthy for me, and I just want to share this for you guys, is that I deleted all my news apps. I won't read the paper. I won't watch the news on TV because it's not his word. And I don't want that speaking into my life because it already says what's happening and where we're going. I don't need a spirit of fear to accompany that. I need to fill myself with his word, be in faith. Could I ask the worship team to come up, please? Now, we're going to start a time of worship, but before we do that, while we have communion, there's been a song that's been really playing on my heart at the moment, and it's called Simple Gospel. So this song has really been playing on my heart because it's about wanting to know him more. And the words will be, I think the words are on the, yep, you got them, cool. The words will be up there, but I just really want your heart to engage with this song, to just let it go. Whatever reason, whatever excuse you have not to engage with this right now, it's deception. Just let it go. You don't have to, you can walk in this.
want to know you more, like I know a friend. Want to know you, Lord. Want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. Want to know you, Lord. So I'm laying down on my religion. I'm laying down, wanna know you, Lord. I'm laying down on my religion. I'm laying down, wanna know you.
Find me in the
will rejoice.
I will rejoice in the simple gospel. I will rejoice in you, Lord. I will rejoice in the simple gospel. I will rejoice in you, Lord.
Father, we just thank you so much that you gave your one and only Son. And Lord, right now, we take these emblems. We take this bread, which represents your body broken for us. Lord, that your love drove you for your body to be broken, that we may be healed. And Lord, we receive your body and become one with your body. You can eat the bread. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your blood that was poured out, that cleansed us and washed us and removed every single trace of sin, that we become new creations and before you holy, blameless, spotless, beyond reproach. And Lord, that your blood has cleansed every person here. We thank you for your blood that was poured out. May drink the blood. In Jesus' name.
So guys, we're going to enter into a time of worship now. And while the worship team plays, if you want to come forward and as an act of your heart before God, to say, Lord, I have made this about me and not you. But from now on, it's all about you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. If you want to come forward and meet with God, I invite you up to the front. There were some guys who are needing healing as well. Love to pray for you. I know Chris would love to pray for you, and other guys want to gather with you, and we want to pray that the love of God touches you and brings healing, brings restoration. So let's enter into this time of worship with our hearts purified by His love, that we could be filled with His Spirit, be sent out into this world with one another. Link arms and go forward and share this great love. In Jesus' name.